This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
But one of the big areas that they're not good at is the running game. And when he was asked, why didn't you sign Derrick Henry? Everyone thought Derrick Henry was coming to the Dallas Cowboys. How did you not jump on it? Mm-hmm. He said we couldn't afford them. There is no capologist who was able to determine that the Dallas Cowboys couldn't afford to sign Derrick Henry this offseason.
So, real quick. I don't know if this is the case. But think about, and I'm going to try and say something without saying too much, and you know the game. People, why did you re-sign Harrison Barnes? Why aren't you trading him to Bolivian? There's a game within the game sometimes that you can't speak on. And I don't know if that's the case now, but a lot of times when people look at it and be like, this is clear as day. Why not just do this? Sometimes there's reasons why you can't do that. And I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case.
What they would have been.
I'm not saying that's the case right now. I'm just saying in general, those things happen.
TK, you got thoughts on this?
So many, honestly. I think the issue for us Dallas Cowboys fans is the gaslighting. Right. And I appreciate those guys in Dallas coming out and asking Jerry the questions that everybody has been wanting to know, which is like, you've told us that the moves that you've been making are, quote, all in, that we are a championship contending team. Mm-hmm. You've told us that you prioritize re-signing your own talent and developing from within. And we see other teams with less profitable balance sheets, not as good in terms of the value of the organization. The Dallas Cowboys are one of the most profitable, high-value organizations in all of sports, period, globally. And then we see other teams actually make moves, right? Going out to get free agents. We've got the New York effing Jets getting Devontae Adams. And I know that the Cowboys actually can't afford Devontae Adams right now. But there's many of these things that come up over and over and over again. And every time Dallas, except for Amari Cooper, Dallas always stays on the sidelines. Mm. And so fans who see the holes in the roster, see the holes and issues with the coaching staff, are wondering why we're being told that what we're seeing is not reality. And then when you get your ass beat by Detroit, which we knew, any Dallas fan knew was going to happen, mm-hmm. right? They're just much better in every facet, in every way. Like, there's no Dan Quinn to save us anymore, right? Dan Quinn's gone. You didn't want to hire him as a head coach. And now we've got Mike effing Zimmer and Schottenheimer running the show. And it's, like, really bad. It's quite bad. So for him to get on and be like, well, I'm not in the business of like going back in time and litigating what things I did and what things I didn't do. I'm sorry. That's the business. We told you we need Rico Dowdle. I'm saying Rico Dowdle's name on this program, on my other night show. He's my hype. He's not an every down back. Tony Pollard, not an every down back. We knew that last year. He's a nice change of pace back. Rico Dowdle, nice change of pace back. We need an every down back. Okay? And you never got one. There was a million of them out on the market, not just Derrick Henry, right? You could have gotten a litany of guys 2 years ago when the Lions got David Montgomery. You could have gotten him for a song from the Chicago Bears. Like, it's over and over and over again. So for Jerry to use his power to be like, some bad decisions are ending up as good decisions, some good decisions end up as bad decisions. Okay, Aesop's fable, we're talking about right now.
And that's,
and he's got to wear that. He's got to, he has to wear that. He can't get mad when somebody asks him those questions.
But he did.
And yeah, and he's a jackass for it. But I'm saying
jackass for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I'm saying like you got to wear that. That's part of the game. Like that's part, to a certain degree, that's part of the brand that you created. You shouldn't be talking to nobody. You shouldn't be having no kind of weekly show nowhere. But you wanted that. You wanted to step into that fire. So you got to wear all that. My only thing with the answering is there's some things you just can't say. And you're going to, or you can, and, you know, you can be real with the situation if you want to. If it is saving money, if it is an agent game, if it is, I made a promise to this guy or whatever, you can do all that. But, like, do we really want the real? Like, I hate what Aaron Rodgers did, like, yesterday. But if that's the real reason why it was a problem, we up here calling him a jackass for saying that. Like, that could be the real issue. I don't know.
Well, apparently, big Aaron Rodgers fan. TK just said, I will not stand by while you slander the good name of Aaron Rodgers. That was one of the smoothest exits I've ever seen, too. It just like, woof, disappeared.
But I accidentally
closed the tab.
Well, at least you didn't hit end the show. Yeah, that's happened before.
But like, you get what I'm saying? Like, if that's the real reason... Then we can't always say that we want the real, because we can't say Aaron Rodgers says why that play didn't work, even though he threw a duck. I have two eyes. I saw what really happened there. But we can't say Aaron Rodgers is a jackass for throwing Mike Williams under the bus and then say, I want you to give us the real. Like, give us the candid answer.
What we don't want is delivering or shirking blame and adding it somewhere else, even if that is true, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing for Aaron Rodgers and from Jerry Jones is a lack of accountability.
Very true.
In their part of the issue. Everyone could see this coming except for Jerry, right? He's being finessed by his son, Steven. And like, do you know that they've had the same staff in terms of evaluating talent, scouting, developing talent? Like, that staff hasn't changed in almost 30 years. That's unheard of. Mm-hmm. The amount of loyalty that exists within Jerry's world is just plainly delusion. And I get that you fired Wade Phillips and you were 1-7 and it didn't work out because Wade ended up getting a Super Bowl somewhere else. Sometimes it's not just about the coach. Sometimes it's about the coach with the roster, with that team, with the culture that you have. So you can't say, oh, well, we shouldn't have fired Wade because he got a Super Bowl with Denver. Like, Mike McCarthy's not good. Mm. We know that. And I don't know if Dan Quinn's any good. I don't know. As a head coach, he went to a Super Bowl with Atlanta. It's pretty good. He had great coordinators. I don't know. He's doing pretty damn good in D.C. right now. Mm-hmm. He's all of a sudden the Washington Commanders, and I know Jaden Daniels is very special, but all of a sudden, they're winning the NFC East. This is not real life for me. As a Cowboys fan, it's not real life for the Commanders to be sitting up top of the heap right now.
They might run away with that division.
Yeah.
Run away, baby. Run away.
And look, the other thing about it, too, is I hate the way he addressed those radio hosts, because regardless of what you feel about that, they did their job. Even if they thought they were going to get, a little cake answer or whatever, you got to ask those questions. You got that interview. You got to ask those questions. Why didn't you sign this? What happened on Sunday? They did their job. That's all they were doing. And Jerry's got to understand that and respect that they were doing their job. Regardless how frustrated you may be, they have to ask those questions. And that's all they were doing, their job. And for him to behave that way in that situation, it shows a disconnect from reality. And like I said, it's very entitled on his part. Like, you got to know those questions are going to be asked, and you got to be able to answer them in a respectable way, in my opinion.
To say that the roster is good enough and you see that the roster is good enough on a day-to-day basis is very disingenuous, right? If you look at the wide receiver core, it's just CD, right? Like, does any casual fan actually know Jalen Tolbert? Brandon Cooks was good like 6 years ago. Dalton Schultz is gone, and now we've got Jake Ferguson. And like, if your second best dude is a tight end, I think you kind of need another wide receiver. And so they don't go out and get anybody in free agency. They don't draft anybody. You know, you got issues with the running game, and you've had issues with the, like, stopping the run in the past. You're just going to get mollywopped. If you can't compete to at least put up points to protect your defense, it's going to be a long season now. And that's what we're seeing here. And it's just, like, very obvious. Good O-line, which they don't have. Good running game, which they don't have. And a defense to help your quarterback. You can't say Dak Prescott sucks, because when Dak Prescott has an elite offensive line, like many quarterbacks, Dak Prescott makes good throws. When he has good weapons around him, he makes good throws. When it was Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, that was a wide receiver core when Amari Cooper was healthy that was very potent. Remember, this was the top offense in the league not too long ago. So we can't do that. It's plainly a culture issue. And as someone who's been a Cowboy fan since I was a very small child, like, I really don't – like, this is as angry as I'm probably going to get because of what Jerry did today. But, like, he's wrong. We real, like, longtime Cowboys fans are apathetic. We are numb. We already know that the losses are coming. And it's like, I don't even know what to say anymore. I can't feel any pain with this team. And then it's exacerbated by it becoming such national news – because we're America's team, it's always going to drive ratings. And so you're just watching people celebrate and stomp on your grave and put salt in the wounds. Well, like, the amount of pain, we've already felt all the pain.
All of the pain has gone to the Dallas Cowboys. Hate to see it. You're listening to D'Lo and Kayson.
You're one of them, see?
What? Me?
You just did it.
I don't know what I did.
You just did it.
Oh, man. Stilo and Casey on KIFM West Sacramento.
I thought you were a Cowboys fan, were you not?
That was a long time ago. I saw the error in my ways.
Just take my ring and put a new ring on.
Yeah, that's right. It happens all of the time. 50% of marriages end in divorce. And my marriage with the Dallas Cowboys ended in divorce when I realized I could never root for this owner to succeed. He's a billionaire times over. But I cannot stand him as a human being. And shout out to Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick taught me the error of my ways. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't root for
Jerry's
this dude.
Jerry's a jackass.
Can't root for him.
You're like that guy from Love is Blind who's like, if you ever go back to the military, I'm going to divorce you.
Oh, my.
There's just some things. If you're just, yeah, you know, there's just some moral things that D-Lo just cannot get past when it comes to, like, relationships.
Yeah, racism is at the top of that list. I'm going to say, you know.
I hear you.
Look, we've all looked.
Kristen didn't change your family. It's just, like, low-key problematic. Like, don't do that.
Hey, no one's ever doubted your allegiance, TK.
Come on. No. I made a video today about how Stephen King emailed me on behalf of, like, Walt Harris.
Stephen King, though.
He wasn't really Stephen King, but he said it was Stephen King, right? And now all of a sudden I got people thinking that I'm, like a pro-Trumper, because I'm like, yo, I just want my email back. I don't want, like, 50 emails asking me for money. I don't want any more texts from Bill Clinton. Hey, this is Bill.
Crazy,
we've got a 600% match if you pay us. No, I don't want that. Anyway, so I'm a little sensitive to being put into that.
I feel those things actually have a reverse effect, because now I really don't pay attention when they text. Like, you really don't get my attention. I just quickly delete. It has a reverse effect. It's supposed to get me, like, oh, keep me informed. Maybe, but
leave me alone.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Democrats of Rockland. What are there, like, four of us? Like, I don't want to talk to you.
The Fat Five.
Like, Fat Five. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. We are not friends. TK, what do you think about Joe and Joel and this idea that perhaps, by the way, Paul George hyperextended his knee last night, be reevaluated in a week. So, like, his availability for opening night's very, very much in question right now. But there's been a lot of talk about injuries and injury management for the Philadelphia 76ers. And Daryl Morey said, you know, we're probably going to limit back-to-backs for Paul George. Joel Embiid went as far as to say he's probably not playing another back-to-back the rest of his career. Your thoughts on the 76ers and Joel's injury management?
Oh, man, they are just so screwed, you know? Like, you can see it, and they are not attacking what really is the issue. We've talked about this over the course of the summer, which is that Joel, and he lost some weight this year, and he's trying to do the things he's supposed to do to stay healthy, but the back-to-backs isn't the reason that Joel is having issues there. You know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that Joel Embiid and his camp aren't wanting to fork out money for. And I don't know if the Sixers want to fork out money for it either. So I don't, if you're going to take their approach, then we're going to treat Joel Embiid like the Clippers treated Kawhi Leonard, and who also had Paul George at the time. We saw that the outcome there wasn't great. So I think it's kind of laughable, honestly. I want to see JoJo healthy. I want to make sure that when it's the playoffs, he's there. I just don't know that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Back to backs and like, that's the hard line stance is the full extent of what's going to get him there.
Interesting. I won't press you on that because maybe you got some things that probably shouldn't be said on it.
Yeah, I got a little tea.
Yeah, so I won't press you on that.
Here's the thing about these athletes, right? You got a lot of money. You got a lot of money. And your entire career is connected to you playing the game, like available in games. But when it comes to finding people who are elite at keeping you available, it's always like, oh, the team should pay for that. And no, JoJo, no, Kawhi, no, Brad Beal. And there's like a list of them. No, it's you that should be paying to stay available. Like that's what happened with Tim Grover and Michael Jordan. That's what happened with Keith Pine and Kawhi in Toronto, and they get healthy and then they think that they'll always be healthy. So they don't want to keep those guys on payroll when they're the most essential dudes that you can possibly have. And everything flows easier when you pay them. But for whatever reason, teams don't want to pay. The players don't want to pay. And then they're shocked that guys are missing 40 games.
LeBron pays.
LeBron pays.
Well, he addressed that. He addressed that in starting five.
Oh, I ain't got there yet.
So see, y'all got to finish starting five. He addressed it and said, I don't know where that number came from. I'm not going to disclose what the number is, but I don't know where that number came from.
Yeah, but he invests.
As he steps out of a cryotherapy chamber, it was like, that's if that stuff is at his house, that's like a $5 to $10 million facility, like in his room right there.
Listen, and as somebody who, I'm not like Casey pocket watching, but I clock how much things cost. Like I look at sweaters and necklaces and this and that, and you like, you just do the ching, 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 and I know it's a lot. It's probably more than $1 million a year.
It almost certainly is.
Yeah, and it works out for him. The thing I'll say about the Sixers, and I'll ask you, Trista, is like, what do you think they should do? Because I think outside of either one of the entities paying for whatever they have to pay for, but just how managing him through the season, it feels like, you know, this is probably what he should do, right? Like no back-to-backs, watch those four games in six nights and how many of those he plays and all this other stuff, because I don't think he can, I don't think he can make it to the playoffs any other way.
I think that's true. I think he has to keep the weight off. I think he has to stop falling all the time. I think he should probably eliminate all alcohol for the course of the season, all junk food for the course of the season. You should be eating clean. You should be finding a nutritionist or a dietitian and a chef to get you there. Like, they should be with you on the road. Like, you should be laser focused on staying available. And whatever that looks like, you have to develop a plan to do that. And Paul George has to do the same, right? Mm-hmm. They both need to be healthy, or it's going to be Tyrese Maxey doing everything. And you just can't have that. You just, the Sixers are so threading a needle, trying to make sure that everybody is healthy all at once, when you've got two dudes who are never healthy when it matters. So it's very high upside. If they're all healthy in April, May, June, like, they're a contender. But, like, we've just never seen that. So how am I supposed to believe that that's what's going to happen?
That's fair.
And along those same lines, we're seeing that Kawhi Leonard is obviously not playing this preseason. Kawhi is always weird because we never really get the real on what's going on with Kawhi. I definitely think that's a Kawhi Leonard thing more than it's a Los Angeles Clippers thing. Kawhi might not play till Christmas, and he knows that, and the Clippers know that, but we're going to get Kawhi Leonard ruled out game to game because that's just the weird stuff that kind of surrounds him and his injury. So that's something else that the Los Angeles Clippers are facing. Now, I know people aren't really high on the Los Angeles Clippers.
Trade him.
They shouldn't have signed him.
Does he have a ton of value?
I think if you're a contender, like, I don't know who that would be, a team that's really trying to get over the hump, maybe like a Dallas or an OKC, somebody with assets, maybe like an OKC, and you've got money, like value, assets, draft picks, players, whatever, keep him on ice. Keep him on ice until, like, he doesn't play in any games. Mm-hmm. And you've got a team, Minnesota, you've got a team that's pretty much fully loaded. You're going to be top three, top four in the West without him. And then integrate him into the game during the playoffs.
I think that's a horrible idea.
Well,
if you're going to do it, send him to the East.
Well, there's that. But the killer for the Clippers is, because I see Gilbert in here talking about Clippers that just tank for Cooper. They got a pick swap this year.
They are
screwed. Like, they can't tank. They can't, I don't think, necessarily trade Kawhi. Like, it benefits you nothing to not be good. Like, you have to try to be as good as possible. Maybe Trista's saying you might even be better if you don't have to deal with Kawhi. But, like, you can't try to be bad. It benefits you not. Like, OKC, I think, is the one that has their pick swap this year. So You gotta go for the gusto. Go for whatever you can this season. And to Trista's point, I don't know if you can. I know you can't depend on Kawhi Leonard. You can't. You cannot depend on him.
I knew in the playoffs last year he wasn't going to be back until midway through this year. I said it to Law Murray, who covers the Clippers. I was like, it's always the same with Kawhi. It's Kawhi Leonard day to day. Kawhi Leonard, like, game time decision, Kawhi Leonard undergoes arthroscopic surgery. It's like, that's the like routine that we've gotten in. Like, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then they tell us after he's had surgery, honestly. And then it's like, we've got to ramp up. So we're talking about 7 months, 6 months of just nonsense when it comes to his health prognosis. And I think the Clippers are responsible for it as well. They're one of the more secretive organizations in the NBA, and so is Kawhi. And so when you have two parties that don't want to be transparent and have no one to hold them accountable, this is what you get.
Brutal. You think it's going to take time for a team like, I mean, we just laid out Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a whole host of troubles. You think it's going to take teams like that with, you know, so many new players, teams like New York, who don't have as many new players as Philadelphia does, but a lot of their really important ones are new. Do you think it's going to take time for those teams to kind of get going here a little bit to start the season?
Yeah, I think it'll take time to gel for New York, because – you know, you've got a center that just plays a totally different way than Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. So that's like piece one. You're bringing back OG and Anobi along from an injury as well. Like, that's going to take time. And then I don't know what's up with Mikal Bridges, but like, his shot is broken right now. It looks like he has a hitch in it. So I think that's weird. I don't know if you guys have been seeing this.
Well, you see the Ant-Man on The Legend, he changed his shot.
He changed his shot.
Bro changed his shot.
Exactly. So I think the Knicks have all kinds of stuff going on. Mm. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like the Philadelphia Eagles, where we're not sure what if we're hearing under the surface is real. But we're monitoring, right? We're monitoring and seeing what's going on. And when you've got like the Dante thing with Rick Brunson, what I'm hearing from behind the scenes is that as much as everyone loves Jalen, great leader, great dude, takes a pay cut, that definitely the nucleus of the team culturally, they're not exactly excited about Jalen Brunson taking 30 shots a game. And that's important to note when you've got a bunch of guys who are used to getting touches. When they were all injured, it was okay. You've got Mitchell out, you've got Julius Randle out, you got OG out, and it's like, well, nature abhors a vacuum, and now Jalen Brunson's putting the team on his back. But now when they're fully loaded, does Rick Brunson tell Jalen to just rock? Like, hey, we'll have our own little huddle over here, and like, just go ahead and shoot a million times? I don't know, but like, something to monitor, really. Body language.
Well, what happened on Sunday was right up Trista Crick Avenue with Dante. Then they got some Julius Randle stuff. I mean, your thoughts about what happened there. It got contentious at the Garden.
That's what I'm trying to say, is it's like, clearly Rick has his fingers all over the place. Pause. And I don't know to what level. I mean, obviously you got Leon Rose and him super tight. Wes is in the mix. Like, there's a brain, and Tibbs has been in the mix as well. So there's like a brain trust. And I don't know really what people feel about it, but like, clearly there's something going on with Rick. Dante's clearly feeling some kind of way. They all went to a GQ shoot after the trade. If I was Dante, I'm not showing up. I'm like, you guys go over there. I'm going to rock with my Minnesota guys. We're going to do our own thing. And so clearly Dante, who was essentially slandered in the media, saying that he wanted to go, he asked for a trade because he thought his role was going to diminish. And he's like, I never said that. I thought my role was going to be just fine. So like I said, that's where the on top of conversations that I'm having, something's weird here.
I do wonder if Dante knows who put that information out there.
Yeah, could be cool. Well, he went right at Tibbs.
Well,
maybe Rick.
And that's kind of what I was alluding to. Like, it would be a bit reckless for Tibbs to do it. You have someone do it for you, and it could. I have no idea. I don't know if Rick Brunson did it or not.
I'll never make the news again. My man will shoot you.
Dante probably knows. So, like, you know what I mean? Dante might be more likely to know. And that's oftentimes how that stuff gets out there in Tibbs and World Wide West and everyone associated with that group. They could. I didn't know.
Swear to God.
Because it was my hands are clean on this one. And a player's dad, an assistant coach, is just out there telling members of the media certain things.
That's true.
Just out there leaking and every pause. And everybody knows what's going on. And it's one of those things when you're the one in it, you know who the potential little finger in the Game of Thrones world could be, because you know what conversations you've had with who. And if there's like only one other person besides you that knows something, and then like a little quote gets out, you're like, what was that? You know?
Yeah. Shout out to Trista too. I like the black nails. I'm a fan of the black nails.
They're navy. I had them with the gala.
Okay.
Yes, the woman of the year, I believe, is what Trista was. How did the gala go? You look stunning, by the way.
Thank you. It was okay. I'm not good in those situations.
I don't imagine that those are your bag at all.
No, like, what are we even supposed to do?
You didn't make a single pause joke that night, did you?
No. I'm walking around and the 4-inch heels, and I'm like, dude, where are my dunks? You know what I mean? Like, let me get up out of here. I can barely, I can't walk, do laps around the room. I can't walk in these things.
We got to get you some flats. We can't have you out there like that.
No, no, she needs to wear the, gotta wear the heels. You got to wear the heels.
She said she's uncomfortable.
She got to get used to them. That's, sometimes when you go to those things, that's what you got to do. That's just what you got to do.
You know?
You can't always wear the shoes to some of these things. You got to slap on the 4-inch heels. You just like sometimes you're going to have to wear the hard bottoms. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what it is. You look great, and sometimes that's the price for looking great. The feet might hurt a little bit, but you look great. No, 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 no. She did the right thing.
You could do whatever you want to, homie.
Thank you.
You can do whatever you want to. All right. Well, we missed you.
What an awkward way to end this thing.
Well, I'm just like, what do you want me to?
Nothing.
No, we'll just keep it moving. Just keep it moving.
We don't know what to do. We got a minute to spare.
You could wear whatever you want when you go to these balls. That's all I'm saying. Pause. Thank you. All right.
Pause. Love y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.